So last week we almost finished this concept about the thoughts. We were talking about how thoughts are so powerful because the mitzvahs that we discussed last week, the two mitzvahs, one was the idol worship and one was the delaying the karban, while thinking while you're bringing the karban that you are going to eat it past the time. Both of those involve thoughts. Most mitzvahs we are not punished for thoughts, but these are the two that we are. And we were talking about the power of thought. And we're going to conclude that concept and move on to the next mitzvah, which is also a fascinating mitzvah and quite different. But just as I just didn't want to leave this a very beautiful thing we were reading. This is from the writings of the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Friedrich Rebbe. And he's recording a story, which it's a beautiful, beautiful story, which is told about a very, very special man called Reb Pinchas Mikaritz, who was a student of the Mizritcher Magid, one of the early Chassidim during the times of the Baal Shem Tov and then the Mizritcher Magid. And the Reb Pinchas Mikaritz wrote a letter to his teacher, to his Rebbe, the Magid, and he said, "Thank you so much for thinking about me on," was it Yom Rosh Hashanah? I'm just trying to remember which, yeah, on Yom Kippur. And it's amazing how he was aware that the Magid was thinking about him, even though they weren't anywhere near each other physically, but he felt that his teacher was thinking about him. And as he said, that as soon as his teacher thought about him, he felt it and it gave him that lift. Okay, so here we were discussing this. We took a little bit of a diversion and we started to discuss before we get to this, oh, good morning, good morning. Before we get to this power of, so to speak, thought, in this context, we were discussing the closeness that people have to each other, the relationship, so to speak. So we started with the idea that in previous generations, when people would meet, remember we said they would shake hands, just like they do now, but it's very different. Now, when a person shakes hands with somebody else, usually it's quite a cold gesture. And as we said last time, sometimes when you actually shake the hand, you feel that the person's actually saying, "Geh gesunter heit." You know, it's almost like hello, but really goodbye. You know, so that's not a real gesture of love. But it used to be that when somebody saw somebody else, there was a warm feeling and you gave your hand and you felt so excited to see the other person. And it was an honest, warm feeling. Okay, that was the first level. But then we said there's a deeper, it goes a bit deeper. So let's see, we're going to see. I'll try to move the page on the computer. Okay, so here on the bottom. So now on your booklet, and I didn't number the booklet. I'm really sorry, I didn't actually number it, but it's not the first. So turn the page, so it's the second page of the booklet, and we're on the second column towards the bottom. And I just, you see, we can read even the second to bottom paragraph. And in the computer, it's in dem itztikin geveinlichen shalom aleichem. Aleichem kemen oftmol oder merimol. So nowadays, when people say shalom aleichem, we can many times feel in as gegesund. You know, it's really saying goodbye, not hello. Aber der Teure dicker shalom aleichem. But the way Teure, you know, if you do it properly, if you're a good Jew, so to speak, the Amalekah Shalom Aleichem, the way it used to be, is Akeli Tzu'or Ha'ava. That's really love. That comes out of love. Okay, we'll see where we're getting to here. Then we go on to the last line on this page. Nardos is Darga Rishayna von Ava, but this is only the first level of love, of, so to speak, how we show our love. Then we go further, so let's go to the next page. You can turn your page, and we go further, and we say that higher than this is Kasher Shnei Oyavim Nifgoshim Ze Im Ze, when two people who love each other meet each other, as Regesh Ha'ava Baba Neshika. So how do we express that love? Not just with the shake of the hand, but we kiss each other. That's even a great, I mean, that's when you're really close to somebody. Shehu Gilui Ar Ha'ava Naili Yaiser. It's a greater form of an expression of love. Yaiser Mikamai Hashotas Yad Bilvad. Much more than just stretching out your hand. But there's even more than that. L'mayla mizeh hu arichus hadibur. This is interesting. Most people wouldn't grade it that way. But when you speak at length, in other words, you give the other person time. So you meet them, you're excited to see them because you feel a connection. So not only do you shake their hand, not only do you give them a kiss, but even more than that, you actually really, truly, wow, communicate. Okay. So this is even a greater feeling of love when you're communicating with somebody and you're excited to see them. Okay, so he says, "Ba'ava v'chiba yisera k'may shorayim b'muchash d'shnei reyim oyhavim ne'emanim marbim l'daber b'neihem u'lesaper ish l're'ehu mikol hanayse itam imam." We see it when two people, like if you haven't seen somebody that you genuinely really care about, and you do see them, what do? You get excited, and you have a lot to say to each other. You want to share. You open up. That's a true expression of love, right? That's the. But then there's even a deeper level. We'll see, even deeper. And this is amazing. He says, but let's. He goes on. He says like this: Ulef amim bi'ava g'day le'yaser. Sometimes you're so excited to see somebody and there's such a feeling, genuine feeling between you, you can't even talk at all. What do you do when you see such a person? So we say, words are too dry. Gebin, dem innerlichen Lipschaft gefiel. Right? It's too dry. Words can't contain the real love, the real feeling you have when you actually see somebody that you're excited and so happy to see and that you love. V'hu rak ba behistaklus einayim. You just look at them. You're so thrilled to see them, you can't even talk. Shaking hand, kissing, talking, no. You just look at them. And that's the expression, that's the feeling, because it's such a deep and a great love. V'einam medabrim klal, you don't talk at all. V'chol zeh heimayfane ahava gluyim, these are all levels of open, revealed love. V'haynu deklolus inin ahava, he is kashrus, v'is achtus, that's what love is, this feeling of connection and oneness. U'ba b'giluyim b'ayfanim shenim, it comes in different, you know, it's revealed in different ways. But then we come to the deepest level. And what's the deepest level? When you truly feel connected to somebody else, he says, and you really care about them, amnam yeshna his kashrus pnimi. There's an inner connection. His kashrus shel machshava. That's when you think about somebody. And very interesting, we don't think, in the Western world, we don't usually regard this one as an expression of love, so to speak. And many times we don't even give it its, how do you say, we downplay it almost. Because to us, we think that our thoughts are our own. And nobody else is aware of our thoughts. So what good is it if I'm thinking about you, you wouldn't be aware of it. But let's see how the Friedrich Rebbe explains very powerfully. He says like this, was einer fühlt dem anderen. In this context, we're talking not just about thinking, but you actually feel the other person. As he says, b'shem sh'aymdim b'kir of mokim panim el panim, just as if you're standing face to face. Ha'echad royes chaveira, each one sees his friend. Kein hu b'machshava, same way it is in thought. She'ein l'pniya ha'inyan shal richuk mokim, there's no, if you want to say, there's no blockage of space. Space doesn't come into it. The person could be at the other end of the world. You can be thinking of them in a, we're talking not just a passing thought, really concentrated because you really love them, you really miss them, whatever it may be, you really care about them, whichever way it is, and you truly contemplate and you think about them. According to the Torah way, it actually, the other person does feel it, and the other person can be affected by your thought, no question about it. So let's see what he says. He says a very beautiful thing, and he actually brings from Eov, that Eov said that, you know, his friends were just thinking about him, and that helped him in his difficult times. And then he gives, we're going to skip a little bit because it's really not, how do you say it, it's not applicable to what we're talking about. He goes into Midis, but I just want to show you something. So that's why when we look on page Dalid, on the second column, it says a Dalit on top, and there's a second column. So as we started, Reb Pinchas Mikaretz, who was a student of the Maggid of Mezrich, and when he wrote to his Rebbe, and he said, "L'harav haMaggid, nishmasei eden zchusa yagen aleinu, sheba oisai harega, shehala oisai." That at the moment that the Maggid actually remembered him, and as we said, they were in totally different towns, Hirgish b'richo kamakim, he felt it, even though there was a distance of physical space. Hadavar kapshutay ein ze pela klal. It's not even a wonder. We think it's great tzaddikim, so he's thinking, so he, and he's a tzaddik and he feels it. No, the Friedrich Rebbe says, this is not even a wonder. This is not a miracle. This is something that we can all experience and we can share. And he, let's see how he says, very beautifully. He says, Vidas lenovay nokel lahavin ki ein hakavana bezachas v'shalom lahaktin berachin. He's not trying to minimize the concept and minimize the experience. He's not saying that it wasn't a powerful experience. Rather, ela adarab b'yoyz ki katan sichleinu lahavin divrei makdashim. Our minds are small to understand the holy words of these tzaddikim. Im kein aleinu hachayva lahavin kol davar aleifanav. We have to truly think about and try to understand what they're saying. And he says, ki az hischil hisgalis aysei aderech asher achar kach avad by Rabbeinu Agadol v'salolei. At that time started the way as the Magid, he paved the way, and then came, well, first the Baal Shem Tov, then the Mizritcher Magid, and then the other great Tzaddikim of the Chassidic Rebbes. And they paved a new way. And it wasn't new, but it was revealing a way of, if you want to say, a deeper way, a neshama way, a way of understanding things on a deeper level, and feeling and living and experiencing godliness and life on a deeper level. So what happens, he says, and what does that do? V'washar b'machshava, zol min zayin mit yenen b'mkaymai, that in your thoughts you should be with another in their place, vu er is, where he is, undos is der perish as a machshava iyunis, is a yesoid el hapoil. And that's what it means, that when we think about something deeply and we're talking about somebody else, it's interesting because here we're talking about somebody being in a different town. But even if it's somebody who's very close to us physically, doesn't matter. That's what I'm saying. The physical is not the important thing. We're talking about somebody who we feel needs our thoughts, right? Somebody who needs our support. Somebody who we care about. If we think about them in a very deep, proper way, with true feelings of love, true feelings of care, what can happen? It actually affects. Mit machshava helfen yenim arayis bimkaymai umatzavai begashmiyis uberuchniyis. With your thoughts, you can actually help somebody in their physical and in their spiritual situation. You can actually make a dent. You can make a difference. V'zeu inyan ha'ayda. And that's why the Pinchas of Karetz thanked the Mizritcher Magid, and he told him that at the moment that the Magid thought about him, hirgish zeis, he felt it. And here we see something so powerful. So you would think, what's the wonder? The amazing thing is that Reb Pinchas of Karetz, who was so far away, felt it, right? He felt that the Magid was thinking about him. Must be such a special person that he felt the thought. But the Friedrich Rebbe says, no, 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 that's not the wonder in the story. What's the greatness of the story? And what's the lesson for us? The lesson for us is, ki im haflahu bazeh, asher harav ha-magid nishmasi eidin, hinei bazeh, shehala oisai al zichreinai, pa'al dover shel poyil mamish. The fact that the Magid thought about Reb Pinchas in such a caring way, right? In such a deep way, that's the greatness of the story. So what does it mean? It means that it's up to us, it's our responsibility. When we see somebody else, when we know somebody else, when we feel somebody else who needs our thoughts, needs our love, needs our care, needs our support, or needs a lift, we think about them deeply. And believe it or not, it actually makes a difference. Even if they're not totally aware that you were the one who thought about them, but your thoughts do affect, and affect to the extent that it will actually affect the way they might respond to a certain situation that they find themselves in. So the greatness of the story is the fact that the Magid cared enough. You have to do it with real, genuine love. That's obviously the point. Otherwise, it's not a hocus-pocus magic thing. We're talking about really, truly feeling that love inside. And he says, "Vas mit machshava helft min yenim." With thoughts, you help the other. Helft min yenim arayis mim kaimai umatzavai bigashmius uberuchnis, and you actually have the power to help the other person from his situation, both physically and spiritually. So this is a very powerful thing. Why we read this was, we mentioned, and as we put it in one line, machshava by LS, thoughts help, because we were talking about two mitzvahs, as we said, which is quite unique, that actually the thoughts is what makes the mitzvah. The pigul, the one that you think that you're going to bring the carbon at the you're going to eat the carbon at the wrong time, and that already disqualifies it, even if you don't, even if, let's say, you eat it at the right time. Once you've thought while you're bringing the carbon that you're going to eat it post the time, you've disqualified. It's in your mind. Usually that's not how it works. It's unbelievable. And we know the other mitzvah is avodah zarah, right? Idol worship. Idol worship is in the mind because it's how we view something as a god or not a god. When we give something its importance, its control over us. Those two mitzvahs which are unique. And interestingly enough, what's so powerful, as we saw last week, is that their punishment is one of the most severe punishments. The punishment is kares, right? The total cutting off, which is so unusual. And it's in the mind. It's not even something you've spoken or you've done. Very, very unique. And that's why we see, so there's the power of the mind in the negative. There's the power of the mind in the positive. And that's obviously what we're meant to use it for. So that was a very beautiful idea. But today we're going to explore, that's Torah, the beauty. The next pasuk jumps to the exact opposite kind of mitzvah. Because here we're going to explore a mitzvah which is mainly the action that matters. But what we see, and this is something so important to remember, is that even though it's true that there are mitzvahs that thoughts are more, so to speak, play more of a role, like even davening, you know, the kavana, and then there are mitzvahs that we'll see today, like tzedakah, which it's the action that matters. Nevertheless, what's magnificent is that we realize that all mitzvahs really have all components to them. Some are more emphasized in different mitzvahs, but the ideal is to work, ideally, we work on all components, obviously, of every mitzvah. And this is what's so powerful. But the other thing also is that Torah is so incredibly, how do you say it, it's so all-encompassing that there is, like there's a mitzvah, so to speak, which if you want to say, will fit with every part of us. And we know that in the limbs of the body as well. But it's also in our thoughts, our speech, and our action. Because as a Jew, we are totally, if you want to, that's our life, is to totally give ourselves over to Hashem as much as we can. And therefore, it actually takes over every aspect of ourself. Okay, so let's look into your sheets. If you turn, do you have any questions? Or we're just going to move on beautiful to the next. Oh, sorry, I have to scroll. Otherwise, I feel bad for everybody. They get a, yep. Okay, here we go. So now we are on in the parasha. We are, it's Perek Yutes and it's Pasuk Tes. So we are in the mitzvah. As we can see now, we'll see two mitzvahs which are very, very connected. The mitzvah of Peah and the mitzvah of Leket. So it's on your next page. It looks, it says 230 on the top. I know I didn't number the pages. I'm sorry. So it's a Chumash page. And it's Perek Yutes and it's Pasuk Tes. And the Pasuk tells us, Ubikutzrichem es ktsir artzachem, when you reap the harvest of your land, what shouldn't you do? Loi sechale pa'as sodcha liktzar. You should not finish off the corner of your field. Let's see. Of your field to cut it off, right? So we know peya is the mitzvah of leaving the corner for the poor person. And then what else don't we do? We don't vileket ktzircha loyselaket. You shall not gather the gleanings of your harvest, and we'll see what that means. I want to read one more pasuk, and then we'll understand the details, because the same way that it is with the field, the Torah tells us it's also with your vineyards. So vecharmecha loysa oilel, you shall not harvest the young grapes of your vineyard. Uferet karmecha loysa laket, and you shall not gather the fallen fruits of your vineyard. La'ani vilager ta'azoiv oysam. This is goes on both concepts, the field and the vineyard. So you leave it for the poor person and for the ger. That's who you should leave it for. And it signs off the end of the mitzvah. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. I am Hashem, your God. Okay, let's understand this mitzvah. So this mitzvah, interesting, you know, I think that most of us know a little bit about it from the story of Rus, That's where we have a little bit of an inkling of the mitzvah. In the story of Ruth, we know she went to the field of Boaz, and what was she gathering? She was gathering the leket and the shikha, right? And even the peyah. She was, that's how it was in those days. It was an incredible thing. This is such a magnificent mitzvah, and we're going to see the layers of what this mitzvah is. On a surface level, how would you define? What would the mitzvah be? Like, what's the point of this mitzvah?
Tzedakah,
that's right. That's what we think of it as. And it is, I'm not denying it is, it's caring for the poor. It is tzedakah. But just to understand one interesting thing, we're talking about a massive field, right? Let's say people who, you know, have a farm, like Rona had farms, and you leave the corner. Now, the truth is that if you leave a corner of a field, and actually, according to the Torah, midai raisa, there is no measure. It can be a very small corner. Tell me, is somebody going to be able to really survive from that? No, it's not going to help much. It doesn't help much. So this is a very interesting mitzvah. It's just something to remember. That although it's true that it does come into the category generally of tzedakah, nevertheless, if it would have just been this mitzvah, poor people would stay poor. I mean, they would be hungry, okay? It's not going to fill them, so to speak. So we have to understand really what's really the message of this mitzvah, deeper than the poor person. And that's what we want to see. Okay, so obviously the poor person is part of it, but there's much more to it. So let's look first into Rashi. So go back, sorry, to the beginning of, you know, the Chumash pages. And I just want to show you the page 230. Let's look on the bottom. There's just a little bit of a Rashi. Starts, Lo yisachala pa'asatcha. You shall not finish off the corners of your field. This means, Sheyaniach peya b'saif sadeyu, that you should leave aside for the poor at the corner. In other words, a corner at the end of his field. Okay, in a minute I'll discuss that. It's a corner. It's interesting. Why not in the middle of the field? No, we just take it for granted, you know. You have to leave some for the poor. Why at the corner? Okay, very good. So there isn't a concept of discreet, okay. Yeah, there's a few interesting things with a corner. What else might be a corner reason?
It's easy to get to.
Oh, easy to get to. Very good. Accessible. That's right. Miles into the.
You just come to the place and you take.
And you take. Exactly right. That's right. Interesting also, if you think about it, if the owner, right, is responsible to do this mitzvah, imagine if it would be in the middle of the field. What could happen? Okay, that's true. That's it's interesting, Ren. I didn't think of that. People trampling on them.
You know,
yeah.
That's interesting. Walk in when the workers are there.
That's right. So that's true. It's more uncomfortable in a sense in that way.
Yeah.
With the mitzvah of pay, something very important to, and this goes with tzedakah, okay, although tzedakah has different things, actually, no, tzedakah is a bit different. With the mitzvah of pay, there's something very fascinating, that if a poor person that is walking by, and we'll see in a minute, and the owner already established and said, this is paya, this is the corner that I'm designating for paya, is the owner allowed to give preferential treatment to one person over another? No. And he can't actually say, come now, I'm designating it now. If it was in the middle of the field, it would be easier for him to do it. In the corner, people are watching. It's open to everybody. So that's another thing. It's very interesting. Because the owner designates, and as soon as he designates, the poor people are allowed to come. So this is interesting how this mitzvah works. As I say, it's both the protection for the poor person, make it more comfortable for him, as well as, in a way, almost a protection for the owner. He shouldn't come to stumble and to decide, I'll give it to my relative, I'll give it to the poor person I like. No, it doesn't work like that. That's an interesting point. So Rona, you mentioned a very fascinating thing, and we'll see how that comes through in the Pesukim as well. Because there is a beautiful idea of doing it much more discreetly where the person doesn't have to feel ashamed. 100%, 100%. There is a very powerful part. Yes, so we'll see in a second. Okay, so let's just look a little bit more into the Rashi, the next Rashi. So we go on the next page, Rashi v'leket k'tzircha, and you shall not gather the gleanings of your harvest. So it says, shiboilim hanoshrim, stalks that fall away at the time of reaping, achasoy shtayim, we know one or two at a time, But aval shalosh, but if three fall away, einan leket, they're not considered gleanings, and they may be gathered by the landowner. You know, because that's the idea of the mitzvah of leket, is that when you're right, when you're cutting the wheat and one or two stalks fall, you have to leave it for the people. But if more than two, then you're allowed to take it. I mean, otherwise the owner wouldn't have anything, right? So, okay. So that's the mitzvah of leket. Okay, let's just see loisa oilel. He says, lois titzel, do not take oilelis. Sheba veheni kar. It's very interesting. Don't take young grapes. That's a mitzvah we don't talk about so much because it sort of gets swallowed in, but it's the same mitzvah. So he says, young grapes that are in a vineyard. So he says, they are identifiable. So how do you know which ones are the young grapes? So he says, kol she'ein le kasef v'lei notaf. If somebody was somebody who grew grapes, they would understand this. But any which have neither a shoulder nor drops. What does a shoulder or drops of grapes mean? So on the bottom of the page, it says in the note, very cute, it describes it. He says that a mature cluster of grapes is formed by many small clusters growing on small branches of a main shoot. The upper clusters weigh down on one another like a man leaning on his friend's shoulder. The lowest clusters hang straight down and resemble drops dripping from the bunch. So Rashi's just described, it's actually quite beautiful, because the pasuk is very, very descriptive of how the grapes look. And then we know which you're allowed to take, which you're not allowed to take, what you have to leave. It's quite beautiful. Okay. But then he says, I'm sorry. And then, uferet karmacha. This refers to single grapes that fall off the clusters at the time of the picking. Those you have to leave for the poor person. Right? So it's very beautiful. If you have one, it usually doesn't work that way, but just in case, you have just like one grape, that's for the poor person, he can pick it. And then he ends off, why does he say, Ani Hashem Elokeichem? And this is a very strong Rashi. So Rashi says, I am Hashem, your God, Dayan Lipareya, a judge who exacts punishment. Ve'eini Goiva Mikem Ela Nefashais. And I take as payment from you nothing but lives. Which means, in other words, you can't get away with just a little monetary fine. If somebody doesn't do this mitzvah, Hashem actually, it's like a strong thing. He'll punish you with your life, so to speak, as he says. Shenemar, do not rob a poor person. Why? As he says in the pasuk, for Hashem will fight their fight and despoil the lives of those who despoil them. Because if you think about it, if you do not leave food for the poor, they could die. So Hashem says, if you don't give them life, well, then I will take your life. And a monetary fine is not good enough. It's going to be literally a life. So Ani Hashem Elokeichem is there to emphasize how important that we actually remember to keep this mitzvah properly. Why do we need such a warning? So let's go on now onto the next page of your booklet, and we're going to see a little bit of depth into the mitzvah. So I just want to see. So there's a few mefarshim here. So the next page on the top, it says Gur Aryeh. But just before we go inside, I just want to share one beautiful, beautiful thing I saw. These are words from the, I just want to see, sorry. I wanted to read you because he says it so beautifully here. These are, Reb Hirsch, yeah. So Reb Shamshir Fel Hirsch says very beautifully, and he explains, as we said, these psukim, they one follow the other. The Chumash is very exact with the order. One mitzvah seems to be such a concept of thoughts and you know, it's such a deep mitzvah of Avodah Zarah. And then we go straight over to this mitzvah of leaving the corners of the field for the poor person. What's the connection? So he says, this is a very important lesson. He says, the sudden transition from the ritual, quote-unquote, laws concerning the divine service to the social laws has an important lesson for us. We are taught that within Jewish life there is no contradiction between these two sectors. Together they form an organic unity as a root and a tree. The spiritual elevation of man towards Hashem implies a corresponding spiritual elevation towards humanity. The environment in which there flourishes feelings of gratitude to Hashem is the same environment which nourishes the imperatives of justice and love towards one's fellow man. So we see it's a very powerful idea that in Torah it's seamless. A person, it's not possible to call somebody religious, so to speak, if they don't behave well towards another person as well. You have both the spiritual and the social, and they go hand in hand. So each one needs the other. They go together. It's not one or the other. One instead, it's together. And that's what makes us a complete Jew, as we say. And that you can see from the way it juxtaposes both of them. And then, as we mentioned, we see here that we went from thought, and now we're going to the opposite, to actual deed. So let's look inside the Mefarshim that you have in front of you. So the truth is that the Gur Aryeh that you have on top, really we've said some of it, and I saw it in the Rambam in a little bit clearer. So we won't read that one inside, that's the Maral. But the Rambam says a similar thing, and that's what we were just discussing. Why is it that we leave it dafke in the corner? Why not in the middle? So as we said, where he says it over here. I think it's basically what we said. But I wanted to see if there was one more important thing from the Rambam. Yeah, oh, okay. So he says like this, that's right. Why do you leave it in the corner? Also, so the poor person should know where to go. Easier for him to find it. And also that people who walk by can figure it out very easily. So again, because these are people who are very needy. And also that he says that so that the owner shouldn't be able to trick other people and say, I've already done the mitzvah. It's obvious to all if you've done it or not, because it's in the corner on the outside of the field. And the other thing, you don't have this. I'm sorry, I didn't make you a copy of this one. And the last thing he says is, as we said before, he cannot designate it to give preferential treatment to certain people. It'll be open and everybody can see who's, so to speak. In other words, everybody can feel that they are being treated equally, because they all have equal opportunity to come in. One important thing the Rambam tells us, as we said, this is a mitzvah, as we can see, a biblical mitzvah, but the biblical mitzvah has no amount. According to the Torah, you can give as little or as much as you want of the corner. But the rabbis do give us a certain amount, and we'll see in a minute. But I just want to show you a beautiful line that the Rambam says. He says, V'chol ha-maisif al ha-peya, maisifin lo-ischar. Anybody who adds more to their corner, who leaves a larger corner for the poor, he will get rewarded greatly. He will get additional schar. And as he says, V'ein l'taysef ha-zayshir, there is no amount to how much you can add. You know, certain mitzvahs, interesting. It tells us that you shouldn't do too much. Here, I mean, I don't know, a person can give their whole field, I guess, technically. I mean, not really, but so it's interesting. So it doesn't have a minimum, it doesn't have a maximum, according to the Torah. Okay, just want to see if there was anything else important in the Rambam, before we go inside to understand some beautiful ideas of it. Another very important thing is that even though it's a mitzvah, which, as we said, it's supposed to be done discreetly, we'll see soon, nevertheless, a poor person cannot just wander into somebody else's field and say, well, I'm just going into the corner so I can take what I want. It doesn't work that way. The owner has to designate it, and it has to be like known that he's designated it, and only then are the poor people able to come in. I'm not sure how they let people know. I don't know what the system was. There must have been some kind of a system, because this is a mitzvah which is the responsibility of the owner. Do you understand? That's what it is. So it's a mitzvah that the owner has to do, and he has to do it being aware of what he's doing. If a poor person goes into a field and takes from the corner, he's actually stealing. It's quite amazing. It's quite a sharp thing. Unless the owner has already stipulated and said, this is the corner. So it's quite a powerful thing. That's the Rambam's thing. And just want to see, I think that's all from the halacha. Just one more thing. So that's if the person takes it without the owner designating. But then the other thing he says is somebody who doesn't leave, let's say, for example, the leket, you know, the one or two sheaves that fell. A person who doesn't leave it for the poor, he says, or he doesn't let the poor person take it, he is stealing from the poor. So it goes both ways. It's quite a powerful thing. And such a cute language, I want to show you. I thought this was quite incredible. He says, "Va'asur la'adam laharbit ari ukiyaitzibai b'seich sadeyu k'dei sheyiru ha'aniyim v'yivrchu." You're not allowed to let a lion, it's like obviously nobody's going to let a lion, but even wild dogs loose, so that the poor people will be afraid and not come. Very interesting. So you see, it's very interesting how these halachas work on the person. But now we have to understand a little bit deeper, what is this mitzvah? Because as we said, it has a very interesting undertone, because it's really not going to supply enough. And what is meant to be the attitude of the people doing it, and what can we learn from the mitzvah? So let's see in your next, the sheets that you have in front of you, the top was the Gur Aryeh, but let's look at the Sefer HaChinuch. So we know the Sefer HaChinuch always gives us beautiful insight into the mitzvah. It's in the middle of the page there, Mishar Sheh HaMitzvah. What is the root? What is the inner, the deeper meaning of the mitzvah? Ki Hashem Baruch Hu Ratza Liyais Amai Asher Bachar Me'utarim B'chol Mida Toiva V'yikara. Hashem wanted his nation that he chose should be crowned, literally, like so to speak, excelling in every good character trait and in every precious and good character trait. V'shiyyeh lahem nefesh brucha, they should have a blessed soul, v'ruach nediva, and a kind spirit, a spirit of somebody who shares, who gives. Ukfar kasafti, ki mitoicha pu'ulas, the Sefer HaChinuch says, I've already written, that it is from action, when we actually do something, tispael ha-nefesh, our soul is affected, v'siya toiva, and that's what improves our soul, it literally refines us, v'sochol birchas Hashem ba, and it actually makes the blessing of Hashem rest upon it. V'ein safek, ki b'haysir ha'adam chelek echad mipeireisav, that when a person leaves one portion of his fruits, bisodeyu, in his field, v'yaf kireim v'sheyeh hanu b'yatzrichim, and as we know, he makes it hefker, meaning he makes it ownerless, like he says, it's not mine anymore, and he allows all those who need to benefit from it. Tira bin nafshe, what will he see? He will see in his soul, soiveya rotzain v'ruach nochain umevairach. He will actually feel an incredible inner satisfaction. These are very beautiful words that he's using. And he will feel a blessed spirit. In other words, instead of feeling like, oh my gosh, I've worked so hard, because, you know, farming is not easy work, and here we're giving it away for free. This is like the, you know, in a sense, it's easy to put a dollar into a pushka, but farming is really physical labor. And yet, instead of feeling resentment, the more a person does it, the better they will feel. That's what the Sefer HaChinuch says. That's what the Torah tells us. It will give us a feeling of blessedness. V'chi Hashem hizbiyai b'tuvai, that Hashem has satiated and satisfied us with his goodness. V'gam nafshai b'toiv tolin, and his soul will rest in goodness. V'hama'aseif ha'kolel ha'bayis, but somebody who doesn't do the mitzvah and gathers everything into his house. V'lo yashir acharav bracha, and doesn't leave any blessing that the poor people should benefit from. Asher ra'u, and this is a very important line, why this mitzvah is so important. Asher ra'u hasada become myseha v'yisavu taiva eleha l'malei nafshon ba kira evu. The difference between this aspect of tzedakah and others is, if you think about it, a poor person, let's say who lives in your neighborhood, was walking by your field every day. They watched you plant, they watched you water, and they watched the crop grow. And let's say Hashem blesses the land and it's growing magnificently. And every day they're walking by and they see the wheat growing, and they know, and in their heart they feel, am I going to have any part of it? Is it going to benefit me at all? And look how much benefit is going to the owner. In other words, it's not the matter of not just, it's just, it's like, it's almost like if we would imagine you have something really nice and you literally hang it in your window every day, teasing everybody else around you. I have it and you don't. That's this mitzvah. This mitzvah says, these poor people who have been watching it grow, now it's time to allow them to also benefit from it. And what that does for you, the owner, it's such a powerful thing, is that when you gather the part that you gather inside, you can truly enjoy it, because you know that you, there's nobody out there resenting you while you are enjoying what you have grown. It's such a beautiful, beautiful idea. That's what's unique, in a sense, almost about this mitzvah. As he says, but somebody who doesn't do this, somebody who takes it all in and knows and was aware that all these poor people were watching it grow, he says, what does that person do? He actually implants in himself a terrible characteristic. It's like he becomes like almost like a cruel person. He's a, he has like, so to speak, a bad heart, a bad soul. Vigam ra'a tivayehu, and bad will come after him. K'mosha amru zechreinu mavracha b'midah she'adam meided, in the measurement that a person measures, b'meided in light. That's what Hashem measures back to you. So you share what has grown in your field with others. And we'll see soon how the other Mefarshim say it so beautifully. Hashem will share from his bounty with you. Because the truth is, it's all Hashem's bounty. So you share, and Hashem shares back, so to speak. Hashem reflects back. And other opposite is, then you reap the opposite way, he says. V'zeh inyan yaspik lanu. So this is enough for us to understand in a simple way the meaning of this mitzvah. And all the other mitzvahs which are similar, leket and shikha, all of them to do with this grain in the field. And I just want to show you something. It's a very beautiful idea. The Sefer HaChinuch really, I think, put such a beautiful spin on the mitzvah. And I just want to show you in the Balat Turim. The Balat Turim, remember we said the biblical, no measure. But the rabbinic, obviously, they've come and they've given a little measure. Because with no measure, people will do very little, as we know, unfortunately. That's the way of human nature. So what do they say? So Ubikitzurchem, and the Balat Turim shows it to us in the words. Kribe ubikitzir chem. You can split it into two words. Ubikitzir chem. And the word chem, which literally just means yours, if you take the kaf and the mem, it's 20 and 40, which makes 60. So he says, shetzorech lahaniach echad misamach. The measurement that the rabbis give is 1/60. That's the minimum. The minimum is you have to do 1/60 of your field for peah, for the corner. Absolute minimum. You can do 1/50, 1/40, and you can do a lot more also, but the barest minimum is that, and you learn it from the actual word, shushir shalpeya. Let's see how the Kli Yakar explains the mitzvah, also beautifully. And this also connects to what we've had before with the other mitzvahs. Let's see, he says, umashen ne'emar, see on the bottom of the page, sorry, scroll down, umashen ne'emar, ubikitzurchem loshen ram, this is the Kli Yakar. So it says, that's also interesting. I didn't highlight it, but when we read the pasuk, there was something wrong. We know that grammatically, you're supposed to keep to either you start in plural, finish plural, start in singular, finish singular. If you look at the pasuk, you will see that it's not the way it works. It starts in the plural and it ends in the singular. It says that you will reap, you know, and your field. And then what does it say? And then it says, loisilakate, right? You should not... And oh, that was the gleaning one. But even before that, let me see the pasuk. Oh, sorry, find my pasuk here. But it's in the singular at the end of the pasuk. That's right, exactly right. So interesting how he says. Okay, so he says liktar veleket k'tircha loisalaket. You see loisalaket. So loisalaket is in the singular, but at the beginning it says uv k'tircha mes k'tir artzachem. It's very interesting. Why does it start in the plural and end in the singular? So here the Kli Yakar will tell us something very beautiful. So he says it starts lashon rabim, right? It starts in the plural. V'achar kach amar loy sechale pa'as sadecha lashon yochid, that you should not leave. You should not complete. In other words, take up until the corners of your field, and that it says in the singular. Loimar lecha shafilu bizman ktsira. Even at, and this is a very interesting thing. Even at the time when you are like cutting all the, you know, all the wheat and all the harvest, whatever it is, sherabim kaitrim, that obviously it's done in a certain season, so all the fields near you are also doing the same thing. All the farmers are doing the same thing at the same time. So you might think in your mind, al tadama binafshecha, don't imagine, lemar yochal ha'ani lisparnes misadis al shalachirim, the poor person, he can go to somebody else's field and he'll find food there. Even if I don't leave all these things I'm supposed to leave for them, Talmud loymar loisichale loisilakate, which means hachayv mutal al kol yochid. Every individual has to feel responsible that they have to do the mitzvah. Now, it's interesting because we do this with this mitzvah, but this applies to everything. In life, it's very much that way. A lot of times, we see something that needs to get done, and the Yetzer Hara has a good way of telling us. He says, the other person's going to do a better job than you. Why should you mix in? Just leave it to them. It'll get done. The main thing. No, Kli Yakar says, that's not how it works. The Torah talks to each and every one of us as individuals. We are all responsible to do as much as we can. with whatever limits we have, whatever capabilities, whatever circle, a little bit, just do. That's, we don't make any cheshbeinus, even if it's only a little bit. Then he says, v'remez oid b'lashon yachid, another hint in the fact that it says it in singular, ze shehatzdaka tzricha liyais, and this is what Rona was saying before, very important part, that the tzedakah has to be done b'seiser, secretly, discreetly, not to embarrass, shelo yadeya l'shum adam, ki im l'naysein lo yivada, l'shum adam, ki im l'naysein u'mekabel, it should only be known to the one who's giving and the one who is receiving. Now, why does it say it started in the plural? So he says, because the people who are doing the reaping, they are many. Right? When you are doing all this reaping. But the truth is that even though there are many workers in the field, who is ultimately responsible? The owner, exactly. So even though the truth is the workers are obviously also, they're the ones who are going to implement it. But nevertheless, the responsibility is on the owner, on the one owner. That's why it says, that's how we see, that's what the Kliyavar says. Now, turn to the Arachayim. The Arachayim is so, so beautiful. I don't know, I think we can do some of the Arachayim today. Okay, he also discusses the singular and the plural, but beautiful, beautiful, beautiful lessons from it. Okay, so he says, Tam shehischil adaber b'lashen rabin. Why it begins in the plural, v'gomer aymer b'lashen yochid, and it completes it in the singular, lo yisachala, that you shall not complete, in other words, take even up to the corner, leave the corner. Niskavin lishlol das toyim. It is to negate those who make a mistake. Asher aymrim. And this is also something so important in this mitzvah, as we mentioned. The corner is so little. It's not going to be enough for the poor person. There's no question about it. So what might you think? So he says like this, Ki kishein davar maspik la'aniyim ein la'litein. A person might think, I don't have enough to help the other person. Why should I give? This is not only with money. This is with anything. We feel inadequate. We do. We're only us simple, nothing people. And we don't have enough to share, to help, to guide, to whatever it may be, whatever we want to do for another. The Arachayim says the Pasuk specifically ends in singular. Every individual has to do their responsibility, even if it's only a drop, even if it's not going to satisfy the other person. Doesn't matter. You do, because that's your responsibility. Hashem will find a way to help him. That's not your problem. But you have to do. And that's why he says, Al derech omer ma'etein zeh lefnei meya. Like, why should I give this in front of 100? La'zeh tziva Hashem b'loshen yachad lo'ymar sha'afilu echad levad olav chayv aspeya. Even one person alone has the obligation to fulfill this mitzvah of peya of the corner. Hagam ki peya shel adam echad mu'etes. He, even though the corner of one person is very small, l'chol aniyei Yisrael, for all the poor people of Israel. Ukmai came be mitzvahs leketu peret v'ailolais, all these mitzvahs of leaving the sheaves. I mean, what's one? So you dropped one. Big deal. What's it going to help them? You think nebach. What's one stalk of wheat going to do for them? What's the point? He says, no, don't think that way. That's not the attitude we're meant to have. The tam smichos na. Now he says something very powerful also. Now remember we said that the mitzvah before this, avodah zarah, that is karis. Remember we said that's the harshest of punishment of all kares is total being cut off. So here he's going to take it and explain something very spiritual about this mitzvah of peya. So let's put aside the fact that it's a tzedakah, and he's going to play on words, and he's going to say he's talking to the person who unfortunately made a mistake and now deserves kares, right? So now let's say whatever you've done, you know, there are some mitzvahs that deserve kares, but that really means all of us, anytime we make a mistake, and we feel that we've lived up until now in such a misguided way, might as well shrug my shoulders and give up, right? That's what we think. It's impossible, can't change, too late, finished. So let's see what the Aruch Hayim says. This mitzvah of peya follows because, and it's not the mitzvah, but the words. Let's see how he says it in the words. So he says, Ulai sheremez shelayoymar adam, that it's a hint that a person shouldn't say, imhazed, if I've purposely sinned. So even if you've done it on purpose, whatever that means, you've made lots of mistakes. V'nischayev kares, and you're literally, you deserve to be totally cut off. Now I don't have to be careful anymore any negative thing. I might as well just do everything bad because I'm lost. I'm finished. Ki kfar nischayev kares, I already have, I've already transgressed the worst things. Laze amar, so the pasuk tells us, ubikitzurchem es ktzir artzachem, and he's taking it out of context. The word ktzir means to cut off, which he says, perush, kishegaram ad sheniktzar ktzir artzai. Even if you have conducted yourself, until you have cut yourself off, we're not talking about the wheat now, we're talking about yourself. So you feel that you have cut yourself off from Hashem, or from whatever it may be, and you're lost, it's finished, over. He says, nevertheless, ha'amor b'samach, lo yisichale pa'asodcha, don't complete it, don't give up on yourself completely till the corner, like, and get rid of even the corners of your field. Leave the corners. Even if it's just a corner, you look at it like it's so little. I have so little time left. I have so little opportunity left. I have nothing. I am nothing. Whatever it may be, it doesn't matter. It's a corner. Keep that sacred. Keep that special because it's worth it. Even kares, doesn't matter. Such a magnificent arachayim. He says like this. So he goes on and he says, because why? Let's see. Oh, that's right, to do other bad things. And this is a very powerful thing. What it shows us is that even though when we talk about kares, we think the whole soul has been cut off. Impossible. The soul of a Jew is never totally cut off. Doesn't work like that. There's always a part that is connected and that remains connected and remains, as we always say, pure and pristine. And therefore, but what is cut off? Ella ha'anaf. Only one branch. Shabai Ramuz mitzvah zu. This is what this mitzvah hints. Va'adayin yeshnam lirais acheirim dvukim b'sharsham. So you can see to it that the other branches that you contain should remain connected to the source, even if it's only a small branch, even if it's a little one. Ki kol nefesh yisrael yesh la sharoshim lemaila keneged kol mitzvah satayra. Every soul of a Jew has many different roots connected to all the different mitzvahs. And it's a very powerful thing. And what that means is not only, even if you've transgressed one mitzvah, you can still, and you think, okay, so I've cut off that root. No, it doesn't work that way. Because the truth is that there could just be that little sliver that's there. And we know with planting, you never know. Sometimes you see something, it looks like it's dying, and then you can rejuvenate it, as we know. We can replant it, but it's always connected. And we always have other parts of ourself. It's a very beautiful thing. So never give up on yourself. V'amar v'leket k'tzircha, and that's why it continues, and it says leket. Remember, leket was the part that falls away. The one piece, the one stalk of wheat that actually falls when you're gathering. Perish afilu ba'anav ha'chet, even in the branch that actually sinned. Lo yosif lach, they don't continue to make the same mistake again and say, okay, well, that's just too hard. I've done it so many times. It's finished? No. Ki yesh lach ladas, we should know. Maimur harav ha'arizal, what the Arizal explains. Ki b'teva ha'kedusha lahasher b'makayim shetiyeh b'yreishem. Holiness always leaves an imprint. There's always something, there's an effect. In other words, as we said, there's always the possibility for rejuvenation. You know, we see it now, physically even, it's amazing, miraculous. They see like the liver can rejuvenate. You see different parts, the things that they never knew, right? Heart, it's amazing, amazing thing. And that's because spiritually it is that way. So you think something is so rotten and you've abused it for so long and you've neglected it, even if it wasn't your, whatever it may be. No. It's not that way, the Aruch Hayim says. A person should never view themselves that way. That's why we have the peah and the leket, the little corner in the field that's still complete, that you don't go all the way and cut off. And even the one little wheat that fell off, even that part that's already fallen, and you think it's lost. It's never lost. Very magnificent. And he says that the truth is that what Hashem wants is that through that one that fell, that should give us the impetus to actually reconnect. That's what we know. We've explained it a few times. I know time is up, but Tanya explains it, I think so. Oh, another minute. Good. Tanya explains it so beautifully that sometimes a person actually from the negativity, from the mistake that they made, that gives them the greater yearning. So it's the mistake that gets transformed into the biggest mitzvah, because the distance, it's what makes you yearn to come closer. And that's the most powerful thing. That's why he says, this piece that fell down, that you cut off, but you never know, that piece could be the greatest chus for you. And that's what we should view it as. So that's how the Aruch Chaim says. Okay, as he says, and this tshuva reaches to the highest place, at kisei hakavod, shehagam shenichras hachut hamechaber, even though you've cut off that, so to speak, thread, that piece that's been connected, at kisei hakavod, v'lo nishar el chelek katan, only a little bit remains, bekirbay hatshuva magi'asei at kisei hakavod, your tshuva will help you reach till Hashem himself. Never, ever, ever should we ever think of giving up, that's for sure. But more than that, the difficulties, the challenges, that's what creates the even greater closeness. I just want to see if I could find everybody. I don't know if I know how to do it now, to let them unmute themselves. Let's see. Yeah, here we go. Okay. Okay, so I think you can unmute. Beautiful. Any questions?
Yes, can I just say something?
Sure, Hannah, sure.
So interesting, this shul, and it must be so hard for us to give this goodness. I just want to mention that the town where my parents came from in Poland and other towns too, every person in the town had to give 10% of their income, whatever it was, even for two... the town council, a secular body.
Right,
not
amazing.
A Jewish body, amazing. So there was no family, whatever.
Yeah.
But if you didn't do it, you could not be buried in.
Oh my gosh.
So obviously it wasn't an easy thing, but my dad said, on the other hand, it made the people who didn't have much a great feeling that, listen, I don't have much, but I can still give.
Contribute. It's a beautiful.
It was two chickens for food for somebody.
Yeah.
And that supported the orphanage, the hospital,
incredible.
And the Moshavsky Inn.
Incredible.
So even people who didn't have money, people think, oh, only I won't give, because you speak to anyone who works at UIA, JCA, they said, you know who gives the most proportionally? The pensioners. The people.
That's interesting. Yes. That's it.
It obviously comes from the
top. So the tenth, the truth is, Hannah, the truth is, this is only in the field. When it comes, we know we have the mitzvah of Meiser. So Meiser from your earnings is a tenth, exactly. And that's where, exactly. And the truth is, we're meant to still be doing it. I know in Poland, they had a whole institution, but every person is meant to give... Meiser, and that's the way it works. That's a mitzvah, it's an actual mitzvah. And the beauty is, you know, it's interesting, so beautiful how you explain that everybody contributes and it's a tenth, so even if it's only a tenth of what you have, right? So it's, yeah. But in.
A person who had very little, it makes them
feel exactly.
Yes.
So it's interesting, and this is the one mitzvah Hashem says, quite beautiful, Hashem says, test me in this mitzvah.
Yes.
This is the one mitzvah, and it says actually you can give a tenth up to a fifth. In some chassidim had this thing that they would give, I mean, a fifth is a tremendous amount, so that's not for everybody, but some people have this thing that they actually gave a fifth, but a tenth is definitely something that we should all be trying to do, 100%. Yes.
Excellent.
Oh, beautiful.
Excellent.
Thank you, Hannah. All right. Have a very good week, everybody. Yes, yes. Okay. Thank you, Leah. Thank you, thank you. Baruch Hashem, really, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Are you feeling better?